prophetic connection from Ahab to Hamas. 7 reasons you shouldn't celebrate Halloween. Chris Reed issues apology to Rick Joyner. John MacArthur responds to Stephen Lawson scandal. And you're at the wrong rally. Kamala kicks out Christians. And an exclusive interview with Luke Pawlowski, the student who was kicked out of the Kamala rally. I'm John Matarazzo for CharismaNews.com, and these are your top stories of the week. The prophetic significance of Sinwar's death on the first day of Sukkot. The Michael Brown article says, 1 year ago, on the last day of the celebratory Feast of Sukkot, Tabernacles, the unthinkable happened as a living hell was unleashed on the people of Israel. That was October 7th, 2023. A day that will live in infamy in the decades to come. A day that has still not ended for the hostages and families of the victims. 1 year later, on the first day of Sukkot, Yair Sinwar, the mastermind of the massacre, was dead. To add to the poetic justice of the moment, Sinwar, who had eluded the best efforts of combined Israeli and American intelligence for more than one full year, was accidentally killed when Israeli troops exchanged gunfire with 3 Hamas terrorists on Wednesday in Rafah. On Thursday, when soldiers investigated the scene and found the bodies of the Hamas fighters, they made a shocking discovery. This terrorist looked exactly like Sinwar. Now, they went and they did some confirming of that DNA and everything. They found that it was him. There was a match. And Dr. Michael Brown says that it reminded me immediately of the biblical account of the death of Ahab, a wicked Israelite king who went into battle without his royal robes, not wanting to draw attention to himself. But someone drew his bow at random and hit the king of Israel between the sections of his armor. And within hours, the king was dead. Now, Dr. Michael Brown makes a few other connections between this ancient Israelite king that was evil and Sinwar and what has just happened there. I want to remind you to keep praying for the situation that is happening in Israel and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, here's 7 reasons you should not celebrate Halloween. In one of his recent videos, Vlad Savchuk discusses 7 reasons Christians should avoid celebrating Halloween. Number 1, Halloween's origins are pagan. Number 2, Halloween is much deeper and darker to those who practice witchcraft than the average person realizes. And he goes on in his video and in the article to share a lot more in depth about reasons that Christians should not celebrate Halloween. The link for this article and the video will be in the description, so check that out. Now, next, Chris Reed issues an apology to Rick Joyner. And in the video here that you can see, he issues the apology. Chris Reed, former president and CEO of Morningstar Ministries, has publicly apologized to ministry founder Rick Joyner, expressing regret for the way he handled his departure in a heartfelt message. Reed acknowledges the hurt caused on both sides and empathizes his deep respect for Joyner, whom he calls a man of integrity. Reed said, "I apologize for the things that I said against an elder when I felt like I was being thrown under the bus. I was wrong and I was in rare form." He goes on and explains a little bit more. Reed states, despite their differences, that Reed expresses his continued love and support for the Morningstar leader, saying, "I miss him and I love him." Reed condemns the recent allegations of abuse within the ministry, defending Joyner's character. He says that Rick Joyner in no way had any knowledge of Erickson's abuse. He would never put up with that. Reed says firmly, distancing Joyner from the misconduct of others while supporting the victims. Currently, Morningstar Ministries is in the midst of legal battles relating to a volunteer ex-police officer, Erickson Douglas Lee, who had been convicted of sexual abuse and misconduct against minor boys in the church. Definitely keep this situation in your prayers, and you can read more about this in the article. Again, the link is in the description. And now John MacArthur responds to the Stephen Lawson scandal. Recently, Pastor John MacArthur returned to Grace Community Church for the first time since undergoing a medical procedure that kept him sidelined from preaching. MacArthur sat down for a Q&A session led by an executive vice president of the master's seminary. MacArthur was asked, how should GCC process the adversity that comes from inside the church when people that we respect and trust turn out to be different than we thought they were. MacArthur said, "I know you're talking about Steve Lawson, and I say that with the deepest agony in my soul." Later, he went on to say, "The first thing that you have to understand is that God is blessing this church in many, many ways. And that is one of the ways he is blessing us, to expose someone who is in a position they have no right to be in, to purify the church." MacArthur explains, he adds, "It's fatal for a church to have that kind of behavior in leadership." Now, again, click the link in the description to read the full article and more comments from John MacArthur. Now, Kamala told Christians they should not vote for her. In a commentary by Mario Murillo, Kamala Harris just told Christians that they should not vote for her. Her exact words were, "You're in the wrong rally." Well, you can read the article from Mario Murillo, but I have an exclusive interview with Luke Pulaski, one of the students who was removed for being at the wrong rally. Luke Pulaski, it's great to have you here on Charisma News. You have made the news, actually, because of speaking out in the name of Jesus and standing up for life at this Kamala Harris rally from, I guess it was just a few days ago, last week. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what it was like there? Like, what did you decide, or why did you decide to go to this rally?
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. Really appreciate it. I'm glad that this has blossomed into something bigger than me. But as far as why I was there, a little backstory is 8 weeks ago, Donald Trump had his first ever town hall here in La Crosse for undecided voters, and I decided to go. I talked to a lot of MAGA supporters on why it's a good idea to vote for him and why I should not vote for Kamala. So my friend Grant and I did the same thing here this weekend. Exactly 1 week ago, actually, at the Kamala Harris event, we had really good conversation with liberals and Kamala Harris supporters on why she deserves our vote. And we were there for almost 4 hours. So, I mean, we had a long conversation with people about heavy debates. We talked, I do believe I asked everybody I talked to about their faith as well, or whether they're Christian or not. So it was kind of more outside politics. I wanted to see where the Christian community stood. And Grant and I did not really go on the intention of going viral. I talked to another interview about this. We didn't record anything. We didn't have any video. Grant had about a 10-second video on his phone that we're kind of just keeping to ourselves, and we haven't sharing any of it to the media. But it was strictly for his safety. Mm. But yeah, our intention wasn't to go viral. And the woman who kind of originally posted the clip, she said, I had lunch with her the other day. She said, in the 4 hours that she was there, the only 20 seconds she recorded was those 20 seconds. And it's kind of just unreal. And all the support around the world, different countries, Singapore, Australia, Germany, Spain, you name it. Granted, I probably got a message from it. It's been unreal. And it's been really affirming to know that we were at the right place at the right time. And we got used as a vessel for God on the stance of abortion. And that's kind of a...
So, Luke, how did you come to your stance on abortion? Because obviously you're going there to and you had these discussions, which I'd like to hear more about that and what the kind of atmosphere was like. But you personally, how did you come to your own conclusions about abortion and pro-life issues?
It was pretty much 95% of my faith and then 5% of me just being a moral human. And to be honest with you, and I have a interesting testimony of how I came to faith. I'll share it real quick.
Yeah, please.
In the year 2022, I always grew up a Christian. I think that's important. I was raised in a Christian family, went to church every Sunday before football with my parents, and just went to church, didn't really pay attention, just kind of went through the motions. And I guess I first originally got to college here, I saw the drugs and the smoking, the drunkenness, the sex, everything you see at school. And I was kind of just questioning myself, like, is this what I want my next 4 years to be like? And the second week of school, I decided to go to mass, first time by myself. I went under my own power, wasn't forced to go. And I sent a text to my father, and he was just, I sent him a text 5 seconds there. I get a phone call, and he's just like overly excited that I was there. And So I started kind of getting back to my faith. And then about a week later, one of the worst moments of my life happened. He passed away from a heart attack, just completely unexpected. And
I'm so sorry.
That's kind of the year that God lent out his hand, and I took it and the opportunity. And ever since then, I've just been really big in my faith. I read that year, I read the Bible 5 to 6 times a week.
Wow.
10:58 every night. I get the verse of the day on the Bible on my phone. And that's how it's been for the last 2 years. And it's really, I told myself, I was like, do I want to see him again? And if I do, do I believe that this story of the Son and God of shedding his blood for me? And I didn't put my faith in Christ just to see him again. I put my faith in Christ due to the evidence that I gathered over these last 2 years. And it was obviously the greatest decision of my life. And I'm glad it's led to these moments. But I think those two things going hand in hand with how I was experiencing the first few weeks of college and then that tragic event, those two together just really formed my testimony of faith, and I'm glad to share it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. And sorry for the loss of your father. I know that that God's love as the Heavenly Father will comfort you in those moments and be the father that you need in this time. But
I always go back to what punishments of God aren't gifts. I mean, if God never took my father from me in that moment, I would have never been the person I am today. I would have never touched so many of my friends' souls and their faith. And I would have never been the person I am today. This event probably would have never happened. I would have never said any of this. The last 2 years of my life would have been, I don't even know. I wouldn't be the man I am today. I really matured from that. And I do really resonate with that quote.
Yeah. Well, Luke, let's talk about this event that you were at. And I want to play this clip back, and I've put it together so that you can kind of see the two things happening at the same time. And I'd love to get your reaction and your commentary about this.
Donald Trump hand-selected 3 members of the United States Supreme Court with the intention that they would undo the protections of Roe v. Wade. And they did as he invited.
Christ is king. Jesus is Lord. Jesus left.
Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally. No, I think you meant to go to the smaller one down the street.
Okay, so you can see there that she was obviously talking to you guys, that you could hear that you're saying Christ is King, Jesus is Lord. I mean, in a crowded room like that, where obviously you know that that is not, it's probably not what everybody believes. What made you to stand up and say that?
Yeah, Grant and I didn't go in with the intention of, you know, this is what we're going to say to her, blah, blah, blah. Abortion came up and she got a large uproar from her audience, and just, it didn't sit right with me. I originally told her or told the people around me and kind of shouted that abortion was the sacrament of the devil. And then 10 to 15 seconds roll by and that's when the camera starts rolling. And that's kind of after we're getting pushed and yelled at by the crowd. And as we're walking away, Grant gets pushed. He gets hands put on him twice. And that's when we're saying that Christ was King and Jesus was Lord. And I've got a lot, like most of the Christian family has been great to me, but there's been some backlash, mostly from the left Christians, of saying it's not the time and place, blah, blah, blah. Scripture says whether it's convenient or not to spread the word of God. It could have been a satanic event. I would go there and I'd spread the gospel. It could have been, you name it, I'll be there, I'll spread the gospel. There's never a wrong time to spread the gospel. But as far as her speaking to us, we didn't actually originally know she was speaking to us because our backs were turned to her. But in between the two phrases that she said of you should go to the wrong rally and you should go to a smaller one down the street, there's about a 10 to 15 second gap. And Grant was about 10 yards behind me, but I heard an uproar from the audience, and I'm trying to deal with these people that are kicking us out. But I turn around and I see her looking directly at me, and I see the audience looking at me, and I was like, oh, she heard this, she responded, and that's when I took the cross on my neck, and I put it in the air, and I pointed to her and waved at her, and then she acknowledges me with that little head nod, and she waves back to me, and I'm almost to 100% degree that she heard us, and she was responding to me, because she looked me in the eye, and she waved back to me, and there's people on Twitter and all these media sites that saying she wasn't responding to us, so she didn't hear us. She heard lies. I never heard that personally. Rewatching the video, from what I can attest to, I do believe people were saying bye, like as they're waving us to leave, we were saying goodbye, bye, bye. And even if people do think she was responding to lies, which this direction she was looking at and the voice projection of where it was coming from, it doesn't match up. And there's one person that I heard, one voice that said the word apparently lies, but it's important to note that she said you guys are at the wrong rally. She didn't say you're at the wrong rally. She said you guys as in plural. And that was for Grant and I. And yeah, we got escorted out. We got told that we were unwelcome and uninvited and that we had to leave.
Yeah. So what did you guys do after that?
So after that, I kind of texted some people. I was like, oh, we got kicked out of Kamala's rally for saying this. And a couple hours go by, my friend sends me an article that says, I wanted to know, we were not wearing any political gear on us. We had like the little Democrat sticker that was like entrance. Mm-hmm. But we had both jackets on and sweatpants I had on. But we got called by left-wing media. I won't give any attention to who it was, but we got called mega fascists. We got called mega this, mega that. We got called Trump supporters that Kamala schooled and owned. One media site made a video on it the night of. They said this is great for her campaign. It shows that she can deal with quote-unquote hecklers. And it was kind of just disturbing to see that there's no context. I got my first true taste of what news networks and media do to twist the story. But luckily the next morning I wake up to a video of Jennifer, who's at the rally and made the video of our clear audio saying Christ is Lord. And some people did some digging and they boosted up the audio when she said it. And then eventually we saw another angle from the backstage, which I think you just showed. And we had three angles as evidence to show that we did say that, and that was the context. And then it wasn't really a political statement by us. It was kind of just by our faith, but it's turned into a huge political statement, really going against Kamala and shows her disrespect and that she has for the Christian family and the community.
Yeah. So as a believer, that obviously makes you not feel good. But a few days later, because of the backlash of the believing, Catholics, Christians, people that believe in Jesus and do stand that Jesus is King and Jesus is Lord. Kamala went to a church. What's your impression of Kamala going to church and interacting with that?
First, I want to say I'm surprised, or I'm not surprised she hasn't made a statement on it. But if you're wrong, and if she truly from the heart, which there's 0.01% chance that she didn't hear us, but she should comment that and apologize to Christians, apologize to Grant and I, and with no apology, it confirms that to me she 100% heard us, and that's what she meant. And as far as her going to that, I think it was in Atlanta Sunday. As a Christian, I don't know if it was a political play or not, but I did watch some of it and I did hear about some of it. She managed to go through the entire service. I also saw a clip of a woman asking why she kicked us out, and she got escorted out by police at that Georgia, Atlanta rally or wherever it was. And she went through the whole service. From what I know, she read scripture from Luke, and she never once mentioned the words Jesus Christ. Mm. And that's just really interesting to me. I've never seen her on video mention those two words, either Jesus or Christ. And the Bible does tell us that demons tremble in fear of the words, and they're the most two powerful words in the world. And I'm not calling her a demon, but it's something to note that Trump, I saw at the Vance rally, he said Jesus was King to someone that shouted in the audience that Christ was Lord. And I think it's important to note that Trump and Vance have both openly proclaimed the word of Jesus Christ, and Kamala's never once said that. Yeah. And I think that's important to note. And as far as people saying that Trump's not perfect, everybody knows that. And neither is Kamala. Nobody's perfect. We all have our flaws, but I'd rather vote for a sinner who acknowledges my Lord and Savior than someone who denies him. And I think that's really important to know as far as the Christian faith and where you align in this election.
Yeah. Luke, thank you so much for standing for Jesus Christ in a hostile environment. Even though you were being shouted down and kicked out, you stood for Christ, and we really appreciate that. Thank you for that, and I look forward to seeing what God does in your life from here on out. Luke, thank you so much for joining us today here on Charisma News.
Thank you so much, John.
I'm John Matarazzo for CharismaNews.com. Make sure that you like and subscribe to this channel, comment and tell us what you think, and share this important news with your friends and family. Thanks for watching.